Now we're turning in our Bibles this evening to the book of Revelation, chapter 18. The book of Revelation, chapter 18. And we're continuing our theme, Exploring the Future. And last week we began our series again by looking at the ecumenical church, the coming world church, the ecumenical church that will be headed up by the apostate church, the Roman Catholic Church. We looked at ecclesiastical Babylon, and tonight we're going to look at commercial Babylon, the collapse of the world market. And we're reading in Revelation chapter 18, and we're reading at verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she hath rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled full to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Not only in one day she's going to be judged, but in 1 hour she's going to be judged. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. You'll notice the repetition of no more at all. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The collapse of the world market. At the zenith of his power and pride, Nebuchadnezzar the Great looked out over the magnificent walls and city of Babylon with its tremendous walls, its massive walls, its hanging gardens. He looked over that city and he saw its beauty, its strength and its splendor, and he cried, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built?" And in a coming day, the last of the Gentile world rulers will boast over a rebuilt Babylon. For you see, the question that confronts us tonight is a very simple one. Will Babylon in modern day Iraq be rebuilt? Well, on the 29th of March 1971, a news release from Beirut, Lebanon announced a plan by the then government of Iraq to rebuild Babylon with all its great walls and hanging gardens according to its original architectural designs. The news item went on, Iraq says it plans to rebuild the ancient city of Babylon, whose hanging gardens were among the seven wonders of the world, and the project will cost in excess of $30 million. Will Babylon be rebuilt? Does there exist any present day desire to rebuild the city of Babylon? Well, the following news articles have appeared in newsprints. Japanese scholars to rebuild Babylon. It goes on. Japanese scholars plan to rebuild the ruined ancient city of Babylon in what is now Iraq into an academic research center and tourist site. My friends, since Nebuchadnezzar's day, the Greeks under Alexander the Great, the Romans, several Muslim dynasties from Baghdad, the Ottoman Turks, and European powers all came to Babylon. Babylon has remained sinking deeper and deeper into the wind-blown dust as the centuries have passed. But Ali Muhammad Mehdi, an archaeologist who was the field engineer for the Iraqi government's Babylonian restoration project, is resolved to change that. He says, and I quote, "We are trying to restore Babylon to the way it was, one of the seven wonders of the world. Babylon is a special place. World civilization springs from Babylon. It's worth all the attention that we give it." Will Babylon be rebuilt? Several scriptures seem to indicate that it will. For one thing, ancient Babylon was never suddenly destroyed as prophesied in Isaiah chapter 13. There God says, "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as God, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." Still again, Babylon is said to be destroyed during the day of the Lord, which is an Old Testament term for the tribulation period. Moreover, the ruins of the city of Babylon have been used to build other cities, contrary to Jeremiah 51, which states, "And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord." That fact alone would demand the rebuilding of Babylon, because when God destroys it in Revelation chapter 18, no part of it will be ever used to build another city. Will Babylon be rebuilt? It seems likely. I'm fully aware that there are some commentators, and indeed there are some teachers, Bible teachers, view this Babylon as a symbol for God, as a symbol for Antichrist's whole godless system. But my dear friends, the Babylon described in chapter 18, to my way of thinking, is distinct from the Babylon that's described in chapter 17. Indeed, the Babylon that's described in chapter 18 is an actual city. It's called a city five times in this chapter. Look at verse 10. Notice what it says. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon." Verse 16. "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen." Verse 18. "What city is like unto this great city?" Verse 19. "And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city." Verse 21. "Thus with violence shall that great city be thrown down." So it seems that a literal city is in view. However, we are not told here what the relationship will be between Babylon and Rome. Could it be that when the Scarlet Woman, the Roman Catholic system, is crushed by the kings of the earth, a new capital will be built? Could it be that Rome could be the capital for the first half of the 7 years, and that Babylon will be the capital in the second half of the 7 years? Or is it possible that Rome will be the ecclesiastical capital and that Babylon will be the political and commercial capital? Whatever view we accept, it seems possible that Babylon will be rebuilt to meet its final doom. Now, will you please keep in mind that Babylon, God's name for the world system of the beast, is both a system and a city. In chapter 17, we have the Babylonian system. In chapter 18, we have the Babylonian city. The Babylon of chapter 17 is ecclesiastical. The Babylon of chapter 18 is economic. The first is religious, the apostate church. The ecumenical movement headed by the Roman Catholic Church. The second is commercial. One is mystical and the other is material. The question is this: are the two things one and the same event? It seems to me that chapter 18, which describes the collapse of this world's market, is a subsequent event to chapter 17, which describes the doom of the Scarlet Woman. Let me give you three reasons for saying that. Notice first of all the expression in chapter 18 and verse 1. It's a favorite one that John uses in the book of the Revelation. Notice what he says. "And after these things," indicating that a new vision is coming before him. "After these things." And that indicates to me that the events in chapter 18 will not take place until the events of chapter 17 have been fulfilled. Secondly, the Scarlet Woman in chapter 17 will be destroyed by the kings of the earth, whereas the Babylon of chapter 18 will be destroyed by the judgment of God. Look at chapter 17 for a moment and verse 16. "And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hit the whore." I said to you last week that the Antichrist, backed up by his system and his kings and his authority, will treat the apostate church the way a man treats a prostitute. That system will use her, abuse her, and refuse her. "And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hit the whore and make her desolate." And so the Scarlet Woman will be destroyed by the kings of the earth. But I want to tell you that the Babylon in chapter 18 will be destroyed by the judgment of God. Look at verse 8. "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." The third reason I say that the two are distinct is this: The destruction of ecclesiastical Babylon probably occurs in the middle of the 7 year period, whereas the destruction of commercial Babylon probably occurs at the end of the 7 year period, just prior to the advent, the coming of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4 of chapter 18. John says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. It is best to see these plagues as specific judgments on Babylon in connection with the outpouring of the seventh bowl or vial. Now, we have noted already the chapter 6 to 18 in the book of the Revelation describe a future period known as the tribulation period. This 7-year week is characterized by 3 series of events. 1, the 7 seals. 2, the 7 trumpets. 3, the 7 vials or bowls of the wrath of God. And God's judgment will rain down upon the earth in the form of the seal judgments, in the form of the trumpet judgments, and in the form of the vial judgments. As I have already noted, at the midpoint of the tribulation period, in the midst of the week, the Antichrist will destroy the Babylonian religious system. Now, religion will not cease to exist, but will be restricted to the worship of Antichrist. My friends, that Antichrist will be able to build the greatest commercial empire the world has ever known in the tribulation period reveals the incredible power of the Antichrist. But God will destroy Satan's last and greatest human empire, and then the stage will be set for the advent of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, having dealt with at least some of those crucial questions, we're coming this evening to look at the collapse of the world market. There is coming an economic calamity that will make the financial crashes of history seem like child's play. We don't know how far this economic collapse is, but this chapter describes in great detail what it will look like. Now, please keep in mind that the term Babylon in Scripture is more than a reference to the false religious system which stemmed from the false religion of ancient Babylon. Out of ancient Babylon came the political power represented in Nebuchadnezzar and fulfilled in the First World Empire. In some sense, this is continued in the commercial system which came from both the religious and political Babylon. And as we have noted, chapter 17 deals with Babylon ecclesiastically, but chapter 18 deals with Babylon economically. Now, I've divided our study tonight into 3 parts. And we're going to look at these parts quickly this evening. 1, the reason for Babylon's destruction. 2, the reaction to Babylon's destruction. And 3, the results of Babylon's destruction. Look at verse 2. John says, "This angel cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. The repetition of the verb is fallen, found in the aorist tense, indicates a sudden event viewed as completed, though the context would indicate it to be in the future. Why will Babylon fall? Because of her sin. On the night of October the 13th, 539, the Babylon of the Old Testament was captured by the Medes and Persians. Let me show you this. Let's come back to Daniel chapter 5 for a moment. Daniel chapter 5. The book of Daniel. Ezekiel, Daniel. You remember that Daniel was taken as a young man, 17 years of age, from his beautiful home in the city of Jerusalem, his godly home. And he was taken 1,000 miles away to Babylon. And they tried to change this young man. And they changed his name. They changed his name from Daniel to Belteshazzar. Do you remember they changed his, not only his name, but they changed his home. They took him from Jerusalem to Babylon. They not only changed his name, they not only changed his home, they changed his curriculum. They enrolled him in the University of Babylon. Thank God they couldn't change his heart. We read of Daniel, young Daniel, down in Babylon. He purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel was a separated Christian. Notice what it says here in Daniel chapter 5. This is the overthrow of the first Babylon. Notice what God says. You remember that Daniel is brought into this feast. There's the writing on the wall. Verse 25 says this. And this is the writing that was written. Daniel 5:25. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided to the Medes. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Verse 30. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, the king of the Babylonians, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided. And someday God himself will once again write these fearful words across the sky of Babylon. Babylon will fall. The judgment predicted in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8 will be carried out. Babylon will fall. Why? Because of her sin. Look at the godlessness of her sin. Come back to Revelation quickly. Revelation chapter 18. Look at the godlessness of her sin. Babylon the great is fallen. Verse 2. Is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the foul and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. In fact, it's to be the home of demons. Demon worship will have its center in Babylon as it did in the past. Do you recall what Daniel's Babylon was like? It was the home of magicians, of soothsayers, of astrologers who were the official counselors of the king. And my dear friends, all of today's reviving cults of Satanism, Spiritism, occultism, witchcraft will gravitate towards Babylon. People will have realized that modern science is never going to create a perfect world, and they will gravitate toward mysticism, believing and following these demons, and Babylon will be the natural home of every cult long after its fall. It will be haunted by the evil spirits soon to be congregated there in great numbers. The whole thing will just be messy as a bird cage filled with bitterness and fighting and hate. Look at the grossness of her sin. Verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication. Now let me pause. Fornication is used two ways in Scripture. First, it is used to describe an actual sin of immorality. Second, it means the sin of unfaithfulness and spiritual immorality as we lust after other gods. Here the leaders of the world have become involved in spiritual adultery. And the businessmen of the world have become rich through her delicacies. Later in the chapter, in fact, way down in verse 23, we read of the merchants becoming great through sorceries. And that word sorceries in verse 23 is a very interesting word. It literally means an enchanter of drugs. I wonder, is the Antichrist going to legalize drugs? Well, we're not too far from that this evening. Sure, that's an idea that's been thrown about in political circles today. Wonder, will marijuana and cocaine and heroin be legalized and sold through government-regulated businessmen? We're not too far from that tonight. And if that happens, they will certainly become wealthy selling drugs to people. David Wilkerson, a longtime worker in inner cities, has said that he has yet to see one person involved in Satan worship who did not first open up his mind to those mystical experiences through drug abuse. Drugs leads to Satan worship. One leads to the other. Will the government endorse it by legalizing it? Certainly this will have the effect of encouraging more people to become involved with the devil himself. It will produce godless nations. Babylon will fall because of her sin. The godlessness of her sin. The grossness of her sin. Look at verse 5. The greatness of her sin. For her sins have reached unto heaven. God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she hath rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. There does come a time when the sins of a nation reach to heaven and cry aloud for God to act.
And Babylon has filled her cup of sin right to the brim. They are so great that they have mounted up to heaven. You remember way back when we traced Mystery Babylon, way back to Nimrod in the book of Genesis. You remember way back there they wanted to make a tower that was like unto heaven. Actually, they wanted to make a tower that resembled heaven, that had all the signs of the zodiac. In that early stage in Babylon, they wanted to build a tower to heaven. Now the people of the tribulation will be building a tower of sin that will reach to heaven. God allows their sin to ripen. He waits until the right time, overlooking sin until the day of vengeance. Jewish law demanded a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. But here it will not just be an eye for an eye, but double, double, double. Did you notice that three times in one short verse it is written, for all the infamies practiced on others, double. Did you notice the gleefulness of her sin, verse 7? It says how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. I tell you, the Antichrist will be living high. Babylon will be in glory like a queen on her throne. She'll just be like Laodicea. She'll be one of the great cities of the world, rich and increased with goods. Here will be a city that feels she is need of nothing. It will be so easy for the saints of God to envy her success. That's why God puts a warning in verse 4. He says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now let me underscore two words there. The first word is plagues. Plagues. You know what that's a reference to? That's a reference to the vials of chapter 16. Come back to it for a moment. Chapter 16. And verse 17. Now remember, chapter 6-18, three series of three. The seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven vials. But here's the last vial. And the seventh vial poured out, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. You say, what does that tell us? That tells me that this judgment on Babylon will just happen prior to the second advent of Jesus Christ. Now look at the other phrase in verse 4, chapter 18. Plagues. Look at the other phrase. My people. My people. Undoubtedly, that's addressed to saints in the tribulation, especially Jewish believers who might find it hard to keep their fingers out of the honeypot. But my dear friends, while this is a warning primarily to people of that day, it is an application for us in our day. The call to separation has come to God's people in every age. It came to Abraham. Get out from Ur of the Chaldees. Babylon, go to the land that I've given thee. It came to Lot. It came to Moses. In a past day, God's people were urged to leave Babylon. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. In the New Testament, we read these words, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I wonder tonight, as a Christian, are you unequally yoked in some business alliance, some worldly society? Maybe you're unequally yoked tonight in some romantic relationship. Maybe you're unequally yoked tonight
in some ungodly lodge. And God says, come out of her, my people. Look at the guiltiness of her sin in verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. Her collapse will come in one day. Indeed, even within the space of 1 hour of that day. And how unprepared the merchants of the world will be when judgment comes, the judgment of God no longer held back. And because of her guilt, God will cause the greatest economic crash in the history of the world. You turn on your television screens tonight and you watch news at 10. The Americans are at fever pitch. They're fighting. Is it going to be Bush or what do they call the other guy? Kerry. You would know I wouldn't be voting for him. But can you imagine a day when the Americans will be rising some morning only to discover that the dollar is not worth the paper that it's written upon? Can you imagine the day when the pound will be worthless? Or should I say, the euro? My friends, it's hard to believe that such a thing could happen. But one thing is certain, in a future day, God is going to bring the system of the Antichrist down. And when Babylon falls, there's going to be weeping and wailing. For did you notice the reaction to Babylon's destruction? Look at it very quickly. Three classes of people in particular are going to be heartbroken over the collapse of the Antichrist system. Notice who they are. The monarchs, the merchants, and the mariners. Look at verse 9. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city. The lament of the kings in Babylon is emphatic in the Greek by the repetition of the article. The city, the great Babylon, the city, the mighty, is fallen. In spite of its splendor, its strength, its greatness, it will fall in 1 hour. The kings are probably those who give their loyalty and allegiance to the Antichrist. Those who helped and sponsored the founding and the building of the city, whose influence and power was in no small measure centered in this city. They'd all come together. They were hoping at last to build an economic system that was stable. But in one day, in 1 hour, it all came apart and they're sitting wailing. You know, we discovered in chapter 13, have a look at it very quickly. That clock's going too quick, but look at this very quickly. Chapter 13 and verse 11. We discovered that while we worship a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, my dear friends, there's an unholy Trinity. And verse 11 of chapter 13 says this, and I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon, this is the false prophet. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Before long you'll have a silicone chip in your forehead or in your right hand. And that no man might buy or sell, see if he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. You see, while Antichrist will mimic Christ, it would appear that the false prophet will try to mimic and copy the work of the Holy Spirit. So what do we got here? We've got a satanic trinity at work. And you'll notice what this false prophet does in verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads. Maybe I should qualify what I say by saying this: you and I will not have the mark, because we'll not be here. We'll be gone. But my dear friends, he's going to be the controller of commerce. And there's going to be a redistribution of wealth in the future, with money in the hands of a few. And all of the money will be centralized in one big pot with one big ruler. And everyone will be given a mark. And without the mark, you'll not be able to buy or to sell. Sure, already we're in a cashless society. Sure, they're talking about giving us identity cards tonight. And they'll be talking about giving us one super credit card per person before long. Suppose you're like me, you get fed up with the ones coming through the door anyhow. Sign up for this, there's no interest. But we'll soon have identity cards. And maybe we'll soon have one super credit card. One thing is sure, this system is going to come toppling down, and the monarchs, the kings of the earth, will mourn. Look at the merchants very quickly in verse 11. Come back to Revelation 18. The businessmen, the merchants of the earth, shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. What a catalogue of opulence and wealth there is here. What a picture of a great commercial city, trafficking in every luxury the heart could desire. Everything here that is listed is a luxury item. And Babylon will make these luxuries necessities. You'll not find a cotton dress or a pair of overalls anywhere in this list. Look at the jewelry department. Verse 12. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls. Look at the ladies' ready-to-wear department. And fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet. Look at the luxury gift department. And all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory. And all manner vessels of precious wood. And of brass, and of iron, and of marble. Look at the spice and cosmetic department, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine. Look at the wine department. Wine and oil. Look, my dear friends, at the home bakery department, and fine flour and wheat. Look at the meal department, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariot. Look at the slaves department. And slaves and souls of men. You see, Babylon has imported all of these things. But nothing is left in the city. And all of the great businesses of the world. And all of the great monopolies and conglomerates. And all of the wheeler dealers will be wiped out in 1 hour. And the merchants will wail and will weep. The monarchs. And the merchants. Look at verse 17. The mariners. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. All the great seaports of the world, New York and London and Hong Kong and Tokyo, are to be outstripped by Babylon. Verse 18, what city is like unto this great city? The sea lanes of the world that previously converged on these giant seaports. In Babylon's day converge in her, but Babylon is gone and the world's trade is in ruins. And the ships entering the Persian Gulf move quickly back out to sea. And telescopes are fixed to every eye as astonished seamen watch in horror as the last agony of Babylon. And the shippers and the trade and the transport companies and the airlines and the freight hauliers will be sitting. And they'll be holding their hands with nothing to do. They had decided that materialism was the most important thing in the world and it'll all be gone within an hour. What a day when money and markets and merchandise will be no more, and the kingdom of the Antichrist will be destroyed. Did you notice God's reaction? The results of Babylon's destruction. I tell you, there's delight in heaven. Look at verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. It's a matter of great interest to observe that heaven is still interested in earth. Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel and all the prophets have longed for the fulfillment of their words. And now they can rejoice, for all their prophecies are coming out and being fulfilled. And from one end of heaven to the other, the tidings are born and heaven is rejoicing. But my friends, if there's delight in heaven, there's damage on earth. Look at verse 21. Notice Babylon will be overthrown violently. A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. As a millstone thrown into the ocean sinks, Babylon will completely disappear under the mighty judgment of God. It will be thrown down violently. Babylon will be overthrown completely. Mark it well how often these words appear in the closing verses. No more at all in thee. The doom will be complete. The curtain rings down forever on Satan's city. The devil will be having a tremendous time with evil music. But I tell you, when this economic crash comes, there'll be no more music. The manufacturers will be humming along, and suddenly there'll be no more music, and there'll be no more manufacturing, and there'll be no more marrying. For all the joy and happiness of this world will be dashed to the ground. Babylon will be overthrown violently, completely. But look at verse 24. Babylon will be overthrown righteously. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Those people who refused to go along with the Antichrist. Those that the world thought were crackpots and nobodies. Those who had their lives snuffed out by the Antichrist. God is coming to bring judgment upon Babylon for the way that she has treated His children. We began the study by asking the question, will Babylon be rebuilt? There are dear friends of mine who interpret this chapter in a completely different way, who hold the same prophetic viewpoint that I hold. But I think the weight of Bible prophecy seems to demand this. A few years ago, one of the delegates at the United Nations made a strong appeal to the body to move its headquarters out of Manhattan Island because of its crowded conditions. And his suggestion was that the United Nations move to Geneva, which is the headquarters for the international banking institutions of the world. My dear friends, listen. Despite all that is happening in Iraq this evening, I'm just wondering, is the day not too far distant when the bankers of the world will be happy to finance the rebuilding of Babylon as the greatest city of the world to accommodate the headquarters of this one world government and this one world religion? Now, before you put your notes into your Bible, let me bring a word of application. In light of all that we have thought about this evening, let me ask you a very simple question. Which world are you living for? Which world are you living for? Is your main interest houses,
property, land, things. You see, life is not measured by things. When a person dies, we ask the question, how much did he leave? I want to tell you tonight that he left everything. For life is not measured by things. The Lord Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. It is not what I have, it is what I am. Now, it's not wrong to own things. The problem comes for us who are Christians tonight when things own us. I wonder, is it possible that your heart has got wrapped up in things? Let me close with the words of the Lord Jesus, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It means that God is first in our lives. First thing in the morning, I turn to God in prayer, in worship, in communion. The first day of every week, I am sure that I'm in my place with His people to worship Him. The first thing in our lives, the most important thing, is to please Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Are you putting the kingdom first? Are you chasing a life of holiness? If you are, God says, all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray together.